If you have your Bibles, our reading is going to come from the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, the third chapter. As we've been doing now, I want you to find the scripture on your own and follow the reading. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 12. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 12. It says this. The Apostle Paul says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I, focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Verse 17, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again, with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about life here on earth. But we are what? Citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. And I want to read that verse chapter 4, that first verse. I love this verse. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you, and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. That is the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? Friends, tonight, as we embark on another year, and it's a special year, it's the 10th year. I want to reflect with you a little bit tonight. I'm sitting down because I just want to talk with you. This is how I try to restrain myself. When you see me sitting down, it's because I'm trying to restrain myself. But I really want to talk to you about the journey that we're on. And one of the challenges of a talk like this one is the fact that all of us have a unique journey. We're part of something bigger than us, but uniquely, we're individuals who have a unique journey. And so in order for this talk to register, you have to listen with your spirit because you have to figure out, where am I on this journey? Because it's going to be different for all of us in this room. And I need you to listen because I've been wrestling with this as we go on year 10, that there are level, I hate to say the word level, but there are levels to this thing. It's a journey. It's not a linear journey, but it's a journey. And the thing is, none of us grow in a linear way because life doesn't work that way. It would be nice, right, if we can just say, we're going to start the journey and we're just going to have this linear walk all the way home to Jesus. The reality is we don't grow in a linear way. We grow like this. We grow like it's a roller coaster, right? Sometimes we take two steps forward, we take three backwards. So I need you to really listen because I really think that there are some things here that you need to wrestle with to understand where you are in your journey and to be intentional about where you want to be in your journey with Jesus. Can you say amen? For some of you, you've been with us for these 10 years. Some of you, it's 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. So it's going to hit different because the spiritual years are not the same as physical years. Okay. You could be 45 physically, but you could be 5 spiritually. So you, again, I hope you understand that there are stages to this thing. And if you're feeling a little restless, it's for a reason. If you're feeling a little off, it's for a reason. If you're feeling a little dry, it's for a reason. It's all part of the journey. Nothing is wasted if you're paying attention. I'm going to do my best tonight to kind of give you some pointers about this journey. But I can tell you this. Once you tasted this journey, you're going to want more. And I can tell you this with all the confidence in the world. Sundays will not be enough. Sundays won't do it. This is a lifestyle. So you're going to want more. Sundays won't be enough. Cruise won't be enough neither. These are all part of the journey, but they're not the journey. The last couple of weeks, I talked to you about the power of community, and then I talked to you about the power of personal time with Jesus. It's not one or the other. They're all part of the journey. Are you with me? So let me put up something that most spiritual directors agree that these are really the 6 main stages of this journey that we're on called Christianity. And they look like this. Oh, I'm going to get out of the way. I thought we were going to put it on the side. That's why I set to the side, guys, on purpose. Okay. These are what, and if you study church history, for centuries, spiritual directors have said, this is what this journey looks like. Okay. I'm going to get up. The first stage is the awakening stage. There's many names for the word awakening, but most of us, we would say, this is where I got saved. I had a spiritual awakening. I came to know Jesus Christ as my own Lord and Savior. It's not I went to church, I met Jesus. Because you could be in church, be dormant. I'm talking about when you had that moment, that epiphany, that revelation, that like it hit home, like, man, Jesus is real, and I need to have a relationship with him. That's where we all start. Then comes this hunger to know more. And so you begin that process now of unpacking, understanding, what does this mean, this awakening I just had? Right? This is where most people will fall in love with the Bible. They start reading the Bible. They start praying. They start going to church because now it's like, man, I'm hungry. I want more. I want more. I just saw someone the other day. He said, Pastor, I've been binge watching all your sermons on YouTube. I'm just hungry. He's like, I've gone back as far as you guys have them. I said, good for you. You're in that hunger stage. You just want more. Then usually it leads to number 3, okay? It leads to purpose. Purpose is when you're like, man, now what do I do with it? I've had the awakening, I'm hungry, now what do I do with all of this? And usually that step looks like serving. It's when you want to be purposeful. You want to put your hands to the plow. That's why you're here tonight. I'd say all of you are here because it's team night. It'd be weird if you're not on a team and somehow you got here. That's amazing. That tells me you're really hungry, and you're like, they got something at church? I'm there. Not even on a team. That's amazing. So awakening leads to hunger. Hunger leads to purpose. Then 4 is considered to be the toughest stage. It's called the wall, or when you hit a wall. Now, when you hit a wall, that looks different for all of us in the room. Because that wall comes in many sizes, shapes, and form. For some, it's a crisis of faith. You hit a wall where maybe someone got sick in your family, God didn't answer the prayer the way you thought he was going to, and then that just messes up your flow. For some people, they lose a job, or they lose a loved one, or they lose an opportunity, or maybe it could be a relationship, it could be a heartbreak. It comes in many ways, the wall. But let me tell you this, it's not if, it's when. The wall will come. And if you've been in this journey long enough, there will be many walls. It's not one time. It could be many times. The most famous wall in the Bible is the Job wall. Job got stripped of everything and had to wrestle with that reality. Is God still good? Can I still serve him? Can I still trust him? Can I still move forward with him? If you haven't been there yet, you haven't lived long enough yet. Because it's going to come. And it comes in different ways. Prayfully, you break through the wall. And they say at the other side of the wall, there's a deeper surrender that comes. They say you will never be the same again once you hit a wall, you break through it, you get on the other side. They say you are never the same again. And I can testify to that. And then they say you want to get to this last stage before you leave this earth, which is a place of contentment. The most fleeting thing on this earth is contentment. To be fully content. And they say usually this comes later in life. It's not a guarantee if you're older you're going to be content. I've been to nursing homes. Okay, it's not a guarantee. Just age won't do it. It's experience that leads to contentment. It's what you do in all these stages that leads to contentment. Are you with me so far? Now here, my friends, can you put me down a little bit? I feel like I'm humming. Here, the struggle though is this. And this is where I've been wrestling with so much. It's they say most people only get to three stages. They say most people only get to the top three stages. They say most people, this is a sad reality, do not graduate past the purpose stage. One thing we can all agree on tonight is that all of us have hit stage three because you're here, you're serving. But can you pass that? Can you hit a wall and break through and get on the other side of this journey? That's the biggest challenge that we all face because it's going to come in different ways. It doesn't all come at the same time. It doesn't all come in the same way. It comes in different ways. But they say, unfortunately, most people, once they hit the wall, usually they turn back or they become stagnant, which is worse. Remember, stagnant is what Jesus meant when he said, I don't want you to be either hot or cold. Like, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Like, have some type of purpose. Because you in your house, you have hot water, cold water. You don't have lukewarm water, right? He's saying have purpose, have meaning. So they say most people hit a wall and they go back. And here's what happens. Here's what it looks like. Because you have to understand this because you're probably going through this. Some of you guys are going through this right now. It looks a lot like this. You've been in church for a while. You start to get bored. You start to get restless. But you don't figure out what the test is in all of that. So you want to do something else. Because the same old is not doing it anymore for you. One of the things we're seeing a lot in our society right now is it's called deconstructionism. A lot of, especially among young adults, they're deconstructing the faith that they grew up with and they're replacing it with something else. It's happening a lot right now. Like it's one of the biggest challenges that we're facing as a nation right now is young people deconstructing away from a traditional Orthodox Christian faith to something less than, for many reasons. Some believe that it's some of the things that are getting in the way of what they believe they should be about, which you guys know that one of the struggles we're facing in our country is identity. What is identity? Who am I really? Is it my sexuality? Is it my career? So they don't realize that it's a wall. So when you don't break through that wall, which, by the way, they say if you get the deeper surrender, it becomes not about you anymore. But this is about you right now. And God will put a wall in the way for you to get out of the way. But most people can't see that reality. So what do? Is they deconstruct. And deconstruct comes in many shapes and forms. Some will just leave the church altogether, which a lot are doing. But some will find something else to replace the faith with. One of the things we're seeing people replace the faith with is what we call social justice. Right? It's actually a false gospel. What happens in social justice? They have an awakening. But it's the false awakening. Now you're hungry to know more about that thing. And now you go through the same process, but don't realize that even in social justice, you're going to hit a wall too. But some deconstruct quietly. They just stay in church, but there's nothing happening inside of them. Some could stay in church 10, 15 years, but they never graduated. They never continue to grow in their faith. Church becomes boring, irrelevant, but I'll do it to appease my conscience or my parents or my husband or my wife, but I'm just there. Believe it or not, there are people like that all around us who have just given up. They're just going through the motions. They're not even growing anymore. And one of the ways that you know someone's not growing anymore because they don't talk about God like it's right now. It's always about the past. Awakening, hunger, purpose, and then wall. The toughest stage is the wall. It's coming. It will come. Question is, what do you do when you hit a wall? What do you do when you hit a wall? I'll give you a personal testimony. About 3 years ago, I hit a wall. It came after COVID. And it was one of the toughest moments of my ministry since we moved here. And it came for a lot of reasons. It was like an avalanche of things. It was, you know, we were dealing with the government. First of all, that's a big wall. Right? Getting threats of being shut down and having to get a lawyer involved. It was very stressful. But if that was just it, it would be enough, but it wasn't. It was the fact that everything was shifting and people were all over the place and we were being attacked and criticized from all over the place. People were leaving the church, people were criticizing people. It was so much. The best way I can explain it to you, and this is how I explained it to my pastor when I felt that, I said, the best thing I can explain to you is I felt like I was fighting, I had my armor on, but somehow someone got behind me and knifed me in the back. And I couldn't recover from that wound. That's how I felt. I felt betrayed. I felt so blindsided by some of the people that I thought we were in this together. So it really jacked me up. It was the first time, I was ordained in 2004. It was the first time in my ministry career that I thought, maybe I could do something else. I've never second-guessed being a pastor until then. It was the first time that I was so low that I was like, I worded for the first time ever, I told my wife, maybe I could do something else. I've never doubted being a pastor until 3 years ago. It was a hard wall. And it took me over a year to get over it. But you wouldn't know it. I was still here. I was still preaching. I was still doing everything that I was called to do. So how did I overcome that wall? It's all the tools in the toolbox. It's all the tools available, I tell you right now. And it wasn't an overnight thing. It wasn't. I looked up on my notes because I have a note here of that I took on July of 2022, and I felt like, I called it the turning point. That day I felt like, okay, I feel like myself again. I feel like my confidence was back. I feel like my focus was back. I feel like my drive was back. I feel like I'm me again, but I'm not the same. But it was months and months of praying and asking God to heal my heart. And usually when you hit a wall, you have to be healed from, you ready? From anger, resentment, frustrations. I had to constantly, for months, I was praying the same prayers over and over and over and over and over again. Lord, heal my heart. Lord, don't let me get bitter. Don't let me be resentful. Don't let me lose my focus. Not feeling anything, just faith in it. Because when you hit a wall, feelings will go out the window. Can't rely on your feelings. And that's one of the toughest things to teach, is because we make feelings like gods. When you hit a wall, feelings will not be reliable. This is where your faith has to kick in. But it wasn't just deep contemplative prayer. It was learning to just be still when all your emotions are so raw and you want to do something else. Worse, you want to lash out. I also went to counseling for the first time in over 10 years. I reached out to a man of God that I know from college. I hadn't talked to him since. First time I ever went to counseling was after I got married. I was like, I got issues. It's not her, it's me. That will preach. So I reached out to that man. I was like, man, I know we haven't talked in 10 years, but I need help. I'm hurting. So it was prayer, it was counseling, it was talking to my pastor about it. And then it was just go into the Word. Can't rely on anything else. This is eternal. And then I had a couple of trusted friends that I can talk openly about these things. You're gonna hit a wall. It's part of the journey. You can't avoid it. Like, we live in a society where we want to stay on the shallow. We want to watch Netflix and forget. You don't. You have to engage. You have to tackle it. You have to go in. And you have to get to the bottom of it. I believe this. Too many people quit prematurely. Because they don't put up a fight. Too many people will hit a wall and think, I need another church. You can go to another church. If God's called you to go to another church, go. But if it's a wall, that wall will follow you. It's coming with you. Some would hit a wall and leave their marriage. It's going to come with you. So just because it's a wall doesn't mean it's time to quit. It's time to put up the fight. But the fight is different because you have no control over it. God says you're going to go through it. Not around it. So if you hit a wall, take advantage of all the tools in the toolbox that God has given us. And we're all unique. We're all different. But all the tools are available to get us to the other side. The other side, man, is deeper surrender. I can tell you with all the confidence in the world, I am not the same person I was 3 years ago. Because your deepest cars shape you the deepest. And the way life is set up, I'm sure that's not the last wall I'm going to see. I've seen others. This is the latest one. But I tell you, God is good. God is faithful. in every situation and circumstance you find yourself in. But you want to be at this place of deeper surrender, man. There's nothing like it. Because, see, what walls do, if you allow it, it will free you as well. It will liberate you from some things. And honestly, what it does is it dispels a lot of myths you have about God. Sometimes it's when you hit a wall, people say, I don't believe in God anymore. You know what it is? It's not that you don't believe in God. I think the God you believed in was too small. It's like you need a God that can now help you understand that he's good no matter what the wall looks like, no matter what you're going through. Are you with me? Yeah. Is this too much? Well, I have to keep going. Let me give you three key things for growth. In any giving stage, you need these three key things. This is proven. This is something that church history has proven to us. Okay, you need these three key elements. For any stage in this journey, you need to have deep contemplative prayer life. It's what grounds you in the reality of God. Notice we say contemplative prayer. You know what contemplative prayer is? It's more listening than talking. Contemplative life is when you know how to be still and let God speak and clear the fog for you. You know you've graduated when your prayer has become a more listening than talking. A couple of tools has helped me personally to develop a deeper contemplative life. I've mentioned the lecture 365. I still use that. I don't use it religiously. I use it when I need to. But also the Pause app is something that has helped me deepen my prayer life. I don't use these things every day. I use them when I feel like I need to. I need to center myself. Sometimes I just sit with God silently for a while. You got to listen to the rhythm of your soul. That's hard to teach. Telling my wife, I don't like to tell people too much what I do because I don't want you to think you have to do it the way I do it. These are just principles that you can use. Number two is meaningful friendships. You know, they say that in this journey, you need at least three deep Jesus friends that understand these things. Because the problem is when Job hit a wall, his friends were religious, but they weren't Jesus-centered. So they couldn't help him. They actually made things worse for Job. Because here's the thing, you can have nice friends, but man, if they don't understand the spirit, they're not going to be helpful. The best thing Job's friends could have done to Job was to be quiet and just be. Notice, what did Jesus tell his three closest friends when he was facing the cross? He said, come and watch with me, pray with me. He didn't ask for advice. He said, come pray with me. Sometimes, man, when you're going through a wall, you just need someone to be interceding for you. Just intercede, man. We don't have to say much. We tell our young pastors all the time, if you go visit someone who's grieving, don't say a word. Your presence. Just bring your presence. Just sit there with someone. Grieve with someone. Mourn with someone. Sometimes your best friends will know how to shut up. Because they're not helping. Especially Christians sometimes. We have too many Christianese. And we have too many slogans and cliches that are not helpful at all. God helps those who help themselves. Shut up. That's not even in the Bible. You know, when he closes the door, he opens the window. No, this is a wall. There's no doors and no windows. It's a wall. Shut up. You know, I was on Instagram. Problem, shut up. By the way, best thing I did when I hit my wall, got rid of all social media. It's like I didn't need more noise. And I haven't been back since. I met with a pastor yesterday. I was like, can I encourage you? Shut it off, friend. One less thing you got to worry about. We were talking about something. I was like, one of the things that helped me, ignorance is bliss. It's great not knowing sometimes. FOMO could care less. And then suffering well with Jesus, because you're going to suffer. In this world, he says you will have troubles, but let it shape you. Let it shape you. That's what Job teaches us. He knew how to suffer well in that moment. And he shaped them forever. Can't escape suffering, friends, but we can let it shape us.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I got to rush this, but you need this. This is not like nice to have. You need this. Okay, I'm still struggling with number two, meaningful friendships. I have a couple. I'm still struggling with that. As a pastor, it's on me. Like, I still struggle with that. But I got to move on. Go ahead. This is important because if you keep reading Philippians, here's what Paul says. This is important. Paul says, keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. The key thing is practice. Practice makes perfect. Okay, practice. See, a lot of times when we're struggling, what do? We strive really hard. I'm going to knuckle down. I'm going to bit down. And it's like, you think the more you do this, the better it's going to get? It never gets better because you're going to try harder. He says practice. Jesus echoes the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. Watch this. Jesus says, go ahead. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into?
Practice.
We're talking about practice. Practice, not try harder.
That's good.
Practice the things you want to see. Okay? Practice is the name of the game. In other words, I had to practice forgiveness when I didn't want to forgive. I had to practice every day. Lord, I'm releasing. By name, I will release people that had hurt me over and over again every day. And then some days, Lord, help me release. I don't feel like releasing, but help me. I have to keep practicing, keep practicing, keep practicing. And the more you practice, the more it becomes second nature. You have to practice it. Like, we throw around the word forgiveness like nothing. Practice forgiveness. Practice. What, God, give me patience. No, practice patience. Practice it. Practice compassion. You got to practice. Practice gratitude. But I don't feel grateful. Practice it. I'm a coach. We just came back from a game. You know what we do? Every single practice, we practice. The same things over and over again and hope they become second nature. And today in the game, I was like, see, this is why we practice this. You guys keep blowing layups. Keep not boxing out. You keep not making the right pass. We're going to keep practicing. Allen Iverson was wrong. We're talking about practice. Okay. It's about practice. The more you practice, the more it becomes part of you. Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest sermon ever preached. He says, I want you to be perfect. Perfect, he said, perfect. You're like, surely he didn't mean it. No, he meant it. He meant it. I want you to be perfect. How do you become perfect? You got to practice. You got to keep practicing. We're talking about practice, not a game. Keep going, because I got to run. So here's our focus, friends. Any stage on this journey, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to practice. Study the life of Jesus. You know what's fascinating to me? Most Christians don't know Jesus. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Most Christians do not know Jesus. They know religion. They know church. But they don't know the owner of the church. Study the life of Jesus. A believer should always, at least every other month, you should be reading the Gospels because you want to study how he did it. I don't read the gospel just to done with a devotional. I'm studying. How did he talk to people? How did he handle that situation? How was he in that circumstance? Man, like, I need that in me. Because here's the thing. The more I put that in me, the more hopefully it's going to come out of me. I guarantee you, what you spend the most time with, you regurgitate.
The more you spend time with something, sooner or later, it starts getting on you where you think, it starts getting on the way you talk, it starts getting on the way you react, it starts getting on you where you make decisions and choices. So you got to study the GOAT. He's the greatest. Watch how he does it, man. I mean, the gospel is like every other month. Like, I got to keep 25 years later, I'm not bored with Jesus. He's too fascinating. People are bored with church. If you're saying you're bored with Jesus, I'll smack you. You don't know what you're talking about. Anyone who says they're bored with Jesus have never met Jesus. I'm still like, how? What? 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 How? What do you mean? Some of these parables, I'm like, come again? And we're in good company, because some of your disciples were like, so wait, what? What did you actually mean when you said that? How do you graduate from that? That's religion. You'd never graduate from that. Practice Jesus' motivations. It's got to get ingrained in you, because religion is outward. Spirituality is inward. It affects my motives, my intentions. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. Embrace resistance. That's the suffering. Don't try to escape suffering. Don't Netflix suffering. Go into it. Open that door. This is a tough spiritual discipline. I don't know if you'll understand this, but you gotta like visualize yourself opening the door of suffering and sitting with it. I've had to do this over and over and over and over again. Okay, we're opening that door. Here we go. I'm gonna sit with this thing. We're gonna let it shape me. That's why we're shallow. We don't sit with things that are hard. We just want to escape them. We want to drink them away, sex them away. They're still going to be there. Sit with it. Let it shape you. Then you can get to, it's really not about me. That's not an easy place to get to. See, we're going to talk about marriage. You know, the second week, I'm going to talk about this. The struggle we have with marriage, whether it's in the church, outside the church, it's about me. Until we graduate to a marriage that's about serving, we're not going to have a happy marriage. That's why people say, I'm not happy anymore. Well, is it about you? And then lastly, this is the contentment stage. Accept not knowing. There's some mysteries in life that you have to accept. But can you be able to accept and know that God is good? Yes. Accept not knowing. If you have a spreadsheet for everything, Christianity will jack you up. If you have a 5-year plan for everything, following Jesus is going to be hard. Some people are like, I thought by now. Yeah, try 40 years in the desert. Some of the people who reached this stage, I don't know if you caught this, but it's pretty obvious that they weren't young. 40 years in the desert, Moses, 120, Abraham, 17 years. I got a dream. Oh, yeah? Pit, prison. Nowadays, we just want to microwave stuff. Come on. But I've been in church for 2 years. Oh, wow. Congratulations. Here's a brownie. I've been serving for 5 years. Try 15. Try 20. Because they all waited. Some of them died waiting. Read Hebrews. Someone didn't see it. So, I'll end with Paul's prayer. Same, again, Philippians. Great, great book on this. Go study this. But here's the prayer he prays. This is the journey, my friends. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to what? Did he pray that? I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I would experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul's like, whatever it takes.
Just don't let me miss it. That's when you know no one can take you away from this journey. Whatever it takes. Come hell or high water, my mind's made up. I'm starting with Jesus, I'm staying with Jesus, and I'm going to end with Jesus. I've seen a lot of people come and go because they couldn't pass the wall. There's going to be many walls along the way, but this is the prayer. I don't know about you, but this is where I'm camping. Just today, I pray this like 5 or 6 times today. I just want to know you, Christ, and experience your mighty power that raised you from the dead. I want to suffer with you, share in your death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.